Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Fiction. Science fiction. Horror. Fantasy. Crime. LGBT. Thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCB 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Welcome back into the House of Mystery, and I am Al Warren. My co-host today is Mr. Mike Brown. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing really, really well. It's been a while since I've been in the House of Mystery. You've redecorated.
Yeah, you get tired of the same old look. I mean, yeah. It probably isn't boring for people that don't see it too often, but, me and the dog keep seeing the same thing, so we have to change things.
Exactly.
You know, and it's been real fun here. So you've been busy. You went to CrimeCon, Vegas.
I did. I went to Las Vegas, and it was my first trip outside of Canada in a million years. It seems like a million years, but it was really, really great to see people. A lot of my friends who are also true crime podcasters were there, and we haven't seen each other for quite a long time, so it was a really nice reunion.
Yeah, it's always good to do that. Did you fly or did you drive?
I flew, and boy, were my arms tired.
I've heard that one before.
Yeah, once. But no, we flew. We flew out of Vancouver Airport and into McCarran, which is now renamed. I can't remember what the new name of the airport is. It's probably Elvis Presley. But
yeah,
it was my first experience flying outside the country as well. And funnily enough, with Air Canada, you got to wear a mask because you're on a Canadian flight. But once you get to the airport in Las Vegas, you can rip that thing off your face and breathe the fresh, clean, smoky air.
You're lucky you got on it. I was just before you. I was just doing the LA one and back for. Mm-hmm. Sundance Channel doing a four-part series. Ooh. And they made me do the test before I got on the plane, mask, and then the test after you got off the plane.
We still had to do the test going into the United States because we were coming from another country, and we had to have our test done, a negative test done the day before you leave. So it was quite a hassle, but... coming back in, we didn't need anything because Canada doesn't care anymore.
They've given up. Yep. It's over. Doesn't matter. The thing I find weird about that is they make you do that test when you're flying, but if you were to drive down, you wouldn't have to do it.
Yeah. I don't understand it, but whatever.
That's okay. It's made decisions by people much smarter than us.
But we have Susan Wingate with us.
I know. So now we're going to find out a lot. Yeah. Now, the new book she's got coming out is called When You Leave Me.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got another one out, too, called Gag Me. So she's so she gagged someone before they left her.
Oh, dear.
Susan West Wingate, thank you for being here.
Thank you both, Alan and Mike, for having me on your show. This is very exciting for me.
Well, don't get too excited. Wait to see how it turns out first.
you haven't had a conversation with us yet. So.
Well, I think it's exciting because I don't travel anymore. So it's fun. I'm living vicariously through both of you.
Oh, believe me. It all comes back. The moment you get on that plane to L.A., it was just all back. I was the seat by the window in a three seat. And two guys that were both 6'5 and 350 pounds sat beside me. So,
nice.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, it all comes back, you know.
Yeah.
Well, this is interesting. So now you've written a lot of books, you know, looking through your profile and stuff. And where does writing come from for you? Like, how did you get into this?
Well, I was an accountant, so it's a natural segue.
Okay.
actually, you know, my father, and surprisingly, I found out after my mother died that she wrote as well. My father was a writer. He was an English major, and that's what his bachelor's degree, his undergrad was. From Arizona State University. And so he wrote, but more like a hobby. And I did too when I was a kid, a lot. And then, you know, I had to make a living and really didn't even consider writing as a career choice until later. And then when it really hit was when I was about, I'd say 37. My dad passed away a year later, and I just kept writing. I kind of wanted to honor him and his whole thing that he loved to write, and I found out that I actually did too. There are a lot of similarities with my dad and me as far as he was in acting as well, and I did acting. For a while, I was a dancer and did, you know, professionally as well when I was younger. And, you know, so, you know, performing was a thing in our family. And it hit right around, you know, that age where you're turning into, you know, middle age. and then it just clicked.
Boy, I tell you, if my dad was an English major, I'd be worried about what I wrote. I'd always feel under pressure, you know what I mean, to make sure it was up to par.
I did when I was younger. It was very, it was a little bit overwhelming and disconcerting to have him read any of my work when I was younger. But, you know, I there was like a lapse during my accounting profession years that he, you know, I really didn't write all that much, and therefore, you know, there was nothing to show him. By the time I was really writing, he had passed away.
You've got these books out now. Gag Me is out now. So what is Gag Me?
Gag Me is a mystery. It is kind of like cozy noir. it's my new genre. I think Frank Zaffiro is also using that, coining that phrase as well. Cozy noir, and it was a little bit of a, you know, lateral move off into funny. You know, I hadn't really ever written funny, but it's very I think it's funny. I mean, maybe others think it's stupid. I'm hoping not. I have a strange sense of humor, so who knows what's funny, right? But I'm hoping for humor there at the beginning of that book. And so far I'm getting some pretty positive feedback on that.
Well, that's good. Now, when you say cozy noir, so basically it's kind of a noir, like a mystery detective sort of thing with cozy, so no violence?
No.
Okay. Well, then maybe explain what you mean by cozy noir then. I'm not sure how to take that then.
Okay, this is my take on cozy noir. It's everything that a mystery is, a general mystery, with little violence and a cat.
And a cat. So the cat makes it cozy, is that?
Thank God, I hope so.
Well, they tend to do that. Cats do tend to make things a little cozier, that's for sure.
They do. There's violence. There's a couple instances of the F word, although the main character hates that word. And so she says F instead of, you know, the actual word. Yeah. We won't say it F on the radio. F.
Yes.
F instead of F. So she will never drop the F bomb. I think that there are two other instances in the story. And then there's a cat.
Named Lester.
Named Lester. Oh, you're reading about it. Thank you. Yes, Lester. He's a bad boy.
Where did you get the cat from? Like, where does that, the personality and the idea of the cat, how do you write that in? Do you take that from someone you know or from a cat?
From a cat.
Yeah. From a cat. And his name is Lester. He's one of my actual cats. He is the fattest thing. He's huge. He weighs about 20 pounds. And he's a yellow tabby. And, you know, he needed a story. So I wrote him into a story.
That's awesome.
I don't know about that, but he's in a story.
So you mentioned Asperger's syndrome.
Yes.
Is that something that is related to the main character?
Yes. Yes, she has Asperger's syndrome. And her take on, you know, she's not very, she's not well suited for social events.
Well, neither am I. how do you develop a character like that? Like when they're not suited for social events, as you say, either they've got Asperger's or they're a stage of autism. So how do you write that character without being that yourself? Like, where do you get your inspiration or ideas from?
Well, I've known several people with Asperger's syndrome, and they're interesting to be around, very interesting to be around. So, you know, you take their quirkiness and just apply them to the character. She started talking to me one day, you know, are either one of you writers? I'm sure you are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. See?
I'm not a professional writer, but
yes, you are.
Stop it. Okay. So you both write well and a lot. And so, you know how it is. A character starts to talk to you and you start to write. If it feels like it's going to, if it's going to be a viable character and a viable story, because, you know, there are times when stories just and characters just fizzle out for one reason or another. But she didn't. She had a lot of interesting things going on, and she just spoke to me, and it was a lot of fun writing her.
Well, it's you know, it's an interesting process. So how do you experience your characters? Do you experience them in visual, like kind of, do you see like a movie playing in your head, or do you hear the voices? Like, where, what's your experience when you're writing a character?
You mean, am I schizophrenic?
Well, you can't get out without being schizophrenic. So, right. But where is your sort of experience now?
Well, I think like many authors that I've spoken with, it's both. I mean, it's visual. It's, you know, you hear it in your head. You hear conversations. That's how this one started. There was an actual conversation that she started, and it was just, you know, it was just fully formed. And so that was nice because it was a fairly quick story to write because it seemed fully formed at the very beginning and all the way to the end. It just didn't stop. you know, and other times you have an idea or just a concept of something that might happen to somebody. For instance, there is one of my stories called How the Deer Moon Hungers, which is it's a little bit of mystery, but not much. It's more coming of age and YA, but that one was more of a contemplation about what would happen if there were two young sisters and one of them, and the youngest one died while in the care of the older one. Okay. So and things like that, although I did see the first scene play out. I mean, just, you know, very visual first scene. So, so both, you know, I think very much so both visual and audio.
Yeah. Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night and find mud on your shoes and a shovel by your bed or anything?
I do. There was one time. No, not really.
I've never had anybody answer yes to that before.
Yes, but I live in the woods, so, you know. Oh,
well, that doesn't mean anything. So did Dexter, right? I mean,
yeah, there's a lot of that.
Wow. That's interesting. So now your other book here, it's coming out soon. It's called When You Leave Me. Now, it sounds a little bit more serious. Right. What's kind of the premise of that book?
Well, and it is more serious, and that's kind of where I tend to write. So Dagny was a real, you know, just a real segue off of what I typically do. It was just like a total lateral. When You Leave Me, I have to go back to 2019, January 2019, my husband went missing. He has dementia. And so I was at a writer's meeting here in town, and I came home and he was gone. I had to call search and rescue. And it was just horrifying. The experience was just the worst. And they found him. And he was fine, although a little shaken, and it was cool here because it's in the Pacific North, you know, and it was cool out. It wasn't cold like it could have been, but it was cool. And so he was a little chilly, but he was okay. So so anyway, I knew that I needed to write that experience somehow. I just didn't know how to do it because I'm not a memoirist. I don't like writing nonfiction. I think it takes a brave soul to write memoir. I'm not brave. And so I just waited, and it was during COVID, of course. I started working on another story that I felt like it was going to be something good. And then it fizzled out. And I was like, okay, I'm just not into that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
What do I want to write? And as soon as I asked myself that, I remembered an old news article from the local newspaper here. It's called the San Juan Journal or Journal of the San Juan Islands. And it was in 2009. This is the craziest. And it's a memorable article where a foot washed up on South Beach. And so, you know, I mean, that's memorable, right? So, and I had always kind of tucked that away, and I always wanted to use that somehow, but it just never came up.
Yeah, I think that was my fault.
Was it?
Yeah.
We'll bring it back.
He walked with a limp.
Yeah, it's too late now. It's not, they're never going to get this on now. You know.
Okay. So anyway, it was pretty memorable, and it all kind of came together for one reason or another, and that story wrote itself pretty fast after I realized what was going to happen, or at least parts of what was going to happen within the overarching story. So yeah, you know, that's what that's about. It the concept is Jamie Michaels, her husband Larry, goes missing, and that is that he, that doesn't have a good outcome. You know, he's gone. And so it's a whodunit type of a mystery thriller, psychological thriller.
Yeah. I guess, did you put a lot in the book about Alzheimer's and what it's like kind of dealing or coping with Alzheimer's?
Yeah, I felt that, you know, you really needed to get to know the characters, and that's a huge part of caregiving, and she was his primary caregiver, and so there was a lot of that. And I also, you know, there you know, we need to understand her angst at the beginning of the story. We need to know her psychological profile. It's not fun, and unlike my husband, Larry was a little aggressive. He was more like my mother when she had Alzheimer's. My mother was very aggressive and cranky, and she had some real wild schizophrenic events, some hallucinations that were just unbelievable. And you know, I wanted Jamie to be, you know, feeling all of the angst that one might with dealing with a difficult Alzheimer's patient that you're the primary caregiver for.
Sure. So do you feel a lot of catharsis writing about something so personal and probably very tough?
You know, it was, you know, not really. I mean, not that I have healed from my mother's, you know, that was like in 2016 when she finally passed away. So it wasn't like I was getting over it. Do you know what I mean? I was well past that stage. And you know, my husband is still alive. And so we're just working through that, but it was different. It wasn't like I was writing me, and it wasn't like I was writing Bob. I was writing two, of course, fictional characters, but and then of course he goes missing. That's the inciting event, really, you know. So so everything else is completely fictional. The foot washing up actually happened in the islands of the the Journal of the San Juan Islands. That was an actual story. My husband actually went missing for just a few hours, but other than that, it is just complete fiction, and I would hope nobody would confuse it, because it's not to be confused. And if you read it ever, you'll understand what I'm talking about.
So do you have, like, is there a subtext to what you write when you write a story like this? Is there something, like, I was to take this book home and read it, besides the actual story on the surface and what you want me to get out of the entertainment value, is there a subtext or some sort of point you want me to have?
Yes, I would say that nothing is ever as it seems.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you hear about certain people doing certain things, and, you know, we can sit in judgment or even, you know, think, you know, but we don't really know until we're in it. So I think that's it. You know, you really don't understand what somebody is going through for anything, not just, you know, dealing with an Alzheimer's or a dementia patient, but anything. So we need to stand back and consider that and become more human from it.
Do you ever feel a certain amount of turmoil or stress or sadness when you write something like that, like a heavy subject or a more realistic subject, at the end of the book and you get it in there? How do you re-energize after something like that?
Well, again, you know, I'm not writing to get over any kind of psychological issues or any kind of trauma or sadness. I'm writing stories that seem interesting to me, something that I would like to read about. You know, I love reading about relationships. I love mother-daughter relationships. I love sister relationships. I love husband-wife relationships. Those are the three I seem to go back to all the time. So when I'm writing, the only time I'm feeling turmoil or any kind of sadness is when I'm writing the actual scene where the characters are doing whatever they're going to do, you know, the conflict there. But it's not for me, or I feel like, and it shouldn't be, something that I'm trying to, like, you know, just spill and vent onto the page, because I would think that that would be, again, more memoir and, again, brave.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and that's what you've got the shovel for.
Yeah. Exactly. By the bed.
Well, it's certainly interesting. When you write a book, how long does it take you? Like, kind of where... what's your process when you write? Do you kind of get up and do kind of a Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, or can you set aside hours and just turn it on? Or do you have to be in a certain mood?
No, this is my business. And so it is, you know, scheduled in. Of course, now, again, I am Bob's primary caregiver. So I am doing, you know, that I get up super early. I have a rooster, so I get up really early. And he gets me up every morning around 4:30, and I'm up and ready by 5, sitting down and working on my computer. It sounds worse than it really is. and then by 9, you know, I'm starting to help Bob and get him ready for the day and all of that stuff. And then in between, Bob, you know, tasks, I write. So it's, you know, in the morning for a couple few hours, and then throughout the day until I just amp out. And then I'm usually, once I amp out, then I start doing administrative stuff and marketing and promotion and that sort of thing. Probably just like you guys.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, but you don't, the mood doesn't bother you at all. Like if, you know, bad things are happening, or you're stressed, or, you know, you watch the news for a few minutes, does the mood matter to you, or can you just turn it on?
You know, I hear what you're asking. The mood matters sometimes. When things get really bad, or if you get super sick or something like that, yeah, it's hard for me to just go, oh, sorry, I got to write, you know. No, and the news, never turn the news on.
Well, that's a good start, unless you want to get in a bad mood. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Or unless you want one of your characters to kill a politician.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Then it's endless, you know.
And then there's that.
I always wonder, because I ask a lot of people in the last few years, especially with COVID, just sort of how they reacted emotionally to it, not so much, you know, with the lockdown and stuff, but just with all the craziness going around, if it sort of stressed them, if they were able to write normally, and some were completely shut down and unable to write at all, while others were just having a heyday, and it actually, their performance got better and more and more often. So I was just, I just try to kind of gauge it like that and see where, you know, what's going on with you in that way.
When COVID hit, I was in the heyday camp.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the major reactions. Some people just got it. What do you look for when you read a book? Are you kind of looking for the same type of writing as you, or do you kind of go somewhere else to read?
Well, I read across the board. I read, you know, of course, I read thrillers and mystery and all that, but I love literary fiction and mainstream fiction. I love women's fiction. You know, I have a wide genre list of what I like to read. I read horror. I love Stephen King. And he's my go-to, you know, guy that writes genre fiction, that writes so beautifully that it just makes you go, now look what he did with that sentence. Or he chose that word. You know what I mean? So I read for writing, you know, how well people write. I love reading first lines and first paragraphs and first chapters. It's one of my fun things to do. But I've been reading a lot of women's fiction. But again, literary fiction is great. I've been reading a lot of Indian writers. I shouldn't say a lot, but one of my faves is Jhumpa Lahiri. She's amazing. And just, you know, and I'm also, you know, not just writing and doing, you know, everything else that a person does in their life, but I'm in my final stretch of a master's in creative writing at Lindenwood University. And thank God it's fully online. So, that will be done. I will be finished mid-July. So I'm really excited about that. And then I'll have my master's certificate in August.
Wow.
So I've been reading a bunch of interesting people, and of course classics, but a lot of amazing contemporary literature. Great writers. One guy, Justin Torres, he wrote We the Animals. Amazing story. Just a lot of great writing.
Wow. And now, are you a big social media girl, or do you have a website? How do you like your fans and readers to contact or connect with you?
I have a Facebook page, of course. I have a book club, Susan Wingate Book Club. My Facebook page is Author Susan Wingate. Twitter is Susan Wingate. Instagram is Susan Wingate. PHX born, Phoenix born, Susan Wingate, Phoenix born. Pinterest is Susan Wingate. I guess so. Although I wouldn't consider myself a girl by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, you look like you're 20.
Oh, and I love you too.
Well, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to make you feel good. Come on. That's all. You know, it's what we do here. You know, it's all fun. It's all fun. So where do you see yourself going with this? I mean, you started a little bit later in your life, but do you see yourself kind of doing this for another quite a few, like in 20 years, you'll still be writing, you think?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think about when you ask that, this just clicked into my brain. It's a Isaac Asimov quote. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard it. It's if the doctor gave me 6 minutes to live, I'd type a little faster. Yeah. I think isn't that the best? Mm-hmm. I love that quote.
Well, there you have it. You only hear things like this on the House of Mystery. You
know? Right.
Nowhere else. Well, it's been great. Now, our guest has been the author of the book that's coming out soon. It's called When You Leave Me, Friday Harbor Novel Book 5. So this is part of a series?
It's a setting kind of series. It's not the same character throughout the series. So it's just a series that takes place in the same place.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm sort of, yeah. So in a way, Pacific Northwest is almost like a character.
It really is, especially this island, probably not unlike Vancouver Island is, but San Juan Island, where Friday Harbor is very unique, totally different, I would think, from Phoenix, where I came from. So yeah, it's a great character in and of itself. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I would imagine it's different. You know, the feet washing up, and you know, it's got its own character. Right. Yeah, yeah,
I like that. Pieces of a character.
Yeah, pieces of a character. So, you know, it's true.
That's brilliant. Pieces of a character.
And now the other book she's got out is called Gag Me. Now this is a cozy noir because it has a cat. And we really want you to come see it. We're going to have your books up, and of course we'll have your page up for people if you one click when they're listening to the show. And we really appreciate you being on the show. So.
I really appreciate being on the show. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Susan.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, all shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.